chance to say just a word or two about the class that Brother Ogles mentioned this morning in the announcements that begins, the Lord willing, next Sunday. A class on what we've come to title First Principles. We're not going to be trying to steal students from other classes. You can certainly go where you'd like, and that's fine. But these will be issues that we're going to discuss for two quarters that will last for 6 months, not just for one quarter, but for two. These are issues that the elders think are critical to understand for all Christians, not just first principles in terms of the steps of salvation. Those are always important, of course, but we're going to try to dig a little deeper than that. Bedrock truths that all saints must be able to understand, and not just for the sake of knowing those, but once we have those mastered, then we can build on those and become more learned students. And so, if you'd care to join us, we'd love to have you. The material was passed out this morning for those who were in the class in the auditorium already. If you did not get a copy, or you were in some other class and you plan on joining us, it's down here on the front corner of this front pew. Take you a folder. There's plenty for everybody to have on your own. If you want to come in as a couple and each have your own copy, that's fine. We have plenty. We can make more if we run short. But we'll start next Sunday morning in that course, so we'd love to have you with us. Hope you can find interest in that. In the 11th chapter of Matthew, and also in the 13th chapter of Matthew, two places, actually three places in all, one in Matthew 11 and two in Matthew 13, we'll look real quickly. We see the same phrase or the same statement. And that is, during the ministry of Jesus when He was here on earth, several times He concluded certain public teaching with an exhortation to listen. For example, look in Matthew 11 and at verse 15 in a tribute that He was giving to John the Baptist. For example, the context begins in verse 7. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? Some little weak thing? No, John was not weak at all. Look down in verse 11. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John. But we want to conclude there in verse 15. He says, he who has an ear, let him hear. Matthew 13, in the concluding of the parable of the sower, look at verse 9. He who has ears, let him hear. In the 43rd verse of Matthew 13, when Jesus was finished explaining the parable of the tares, the last part of verse 43, he who has ears, let him hear. And then you can look in all seven letters in the second and third chapter of the Revelation to John. And as each letter to the seven churches are concluded, the statement is made by John. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So the meaning of these statements is clear. Please pay attention to what I'm saying. Listen to me. What I'm saying is rather important. Now, the problem that Jesus addresses in these short exhortations is a problem that still persists today. This isn't a problem that they just had in the first century, of course. Some don't listen well at all. And if you really doubt that, which I know you don't, but even if you did, just ask some public school teachers. Ask some parents. Children don't listen sometimes. Even adults sometimes, we don't listen. So we have a listening problem, it seems, in our culture. And many listen. They can hear, but they don't listen with the intent to comprehend or understand. So you can listen and then not really listen. That's entirely possible. So let's talk tonight about how well do you listen? How well do I listen? Some may even say that listening is a lost art. I'm not prepared to go that far. I don't think we should just give up hope with respect to listening. But we certainly could be better listeners. All of us could. We can learn from the Scripture how to listen well. And of course, that's our most important focus tonight. Not that you, well, are you listening to your parents good enough? And that's important, because the Bible speaks about that. And are you listening to other people good enough to help those relationships? And that certainly would be important too. But of course, our main focus is, are we listening to God? Because He speaks to us. Now, I'm not really concerned about whether or not you're going to listen to me tonight. You can tune me out, and that'd be your choice. I hope you don't, but you can. But let's not tune God out. We've got to listen to Him. We have to do that. So listening well will, of course, improve all of our relationships to your spouse, to your children, to your co-workers. But the most important relationship, of course, would be ours, what we have with God. And listening to Him certainly would be improved if we listen well. So let's first talk about what the Bible would portray as different types of listeners. And I have three that I want to look at with you. Look in Hebrews chapter 5. And here's one group that we can find that the Bible would portray as a group of listeners. Hebrews 5 and verse 11. The dull of hearing. Down through verse 10. And this will be a text that we get into much detail in starting next Sunday in this new class I just spoke about. If you've already seen some of the material that you got this morning, we're going to spend quite a bit of time on Hebrews 5, the latter part of the chapter. But the Hebrews writer is doing a lot of different things in the epistle, all aimed at showing the superiority of the Christ and His gospel, the New Testament order, over the law of Moses and the Old Covenant, or the Old Testament order of worship and service to God. And one of the things that he needs to establish firmly in his argumentation is to establish the priesthood of Christ as the high priest. And to do that, as he'd already been mentioned in previous chapters in the book, other places, particularly in chapter 2, it was mentioned, I believe, and then also in chapter 5 and verse 5, and later on. And verse 6 is that the priesthood of Christ is after the order of, or on the order of, after the similitude of the priesthood of Melchizedek. So we have to reach far back into the Old Covenant to learn, all right, now who was this Melchizedek guy? And what was he about? And why is the Lord's priesthood on the order of his priesthood? And so all these things have to be running through the minds of his hearers. And so a lot has to be discussed. But the problem is, you see in Hebrews 5, and verse 11, the writer says, now concerning him, that is Melchizedek, concerning him we have much to say. We have a lot to say about this. And so inferred in that would be, you need to pay attention. You need to listen to what I've got to say. Because if you don't understand Melchizedek, then you certainly can't understand the priesthood of Christ who's on his order. That just would be impossible. So concerning him we have much to say, and it is hard to explain. Since you, or because you have become dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. In your Bibles, you might want to make note in chapter 6 and verse 12. The same Greek word is used in the text. What does it mean to be dull of hearing? Still continuing to exhort these Christians. Look in verse 11. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish. There's the same word. To be spiritually lazy is to be dull of hearing, to have dull ears. So these people were somewhat closed-minded. The problem was their heart. It wasn't because the material of the curriculum was way too hard, and this is just really hard to explain, kind of like trying to explain calculus. You know, that's not the problem. That's not the problem at all. The problem was them. It was their heart. And on that order, look back at Matthew 13 with me. Matthew, the 13th chapter. And I want to look at there verses 13 and 15. After Jesus has told the parable of the sower, he will explain it just in a little while in the same chapter, but between the telling of it and the explaining of it, he was asked a question by his disciples. Verse 10, why do you speak to them in parables? Why do you tell all these little stories? Jesus answered them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has, shall be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because, now here's the reason why, because while seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. Now, that may seem like a paradox. How can they see but not see? And how can they hear but not hear? Well, that goes back to that thing I said earlier just a moment ago. We can listen, but not really listen. We can see, but not really see or perceive. We're just playing lip service. We're not really paying attention with the intention to comprehend. Verse 14, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but you will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people, see, it's the heart. The issue is the heart. The heart of this people has become dull. With their ears, they scarcely hear. And they have closed their eyes, otherwise they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them. So we have some who are dull of hearing. Maybe that describes some of us. I don't know. We have to think about that. But that's one type. Now, a second type in the Bible is those who have itching ears. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy, the fourth chapter. After Paul gave Timothy, this, of course, we know to be the Apostle Paul's last epistle, his last letter. Already being poured out as a drink offering, verse 6 says of the chapter. Time of my departure has come. And he charged Timothy, preach the word. Be ready all the time. In season, out of season. When they like it, when they don't. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Rebuke sin, but encourage. Always be ready to preach what is needed. Great patience and doctrine or instruction. Now verse 3. Why this charge, Paul? The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They won't endure it. But wanting to have their ears tickled, or having itching ears, they will heap up to themselves teachers after their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and be turned aside unto fables or myths, fiction, fairy tale, make-believe. So we can have some who have itching ears. They only hear what they want. They want the preacher to tickle their ear. Tell us what we want to hear, not what you think we need to hear, but let me hear what I want to hear. Tell me that. All else is rejected, even sound doctrine. And that has always been to me an interesting phrase in the Scripture. That word sound doctrine, which you see over and over and over again emphasized in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, letters to preachers, which it's not just for preachers, but those three short epistles written to preachers, that means healthy doctrine. You preach what is healthy. You preach what is needed. But there will come a time when someone will say, that's not what I want to hear. I've got itching ears. I've got things that I want to hear. And let's hire a man who will teach us that. That way that'll make us happy. So there are those who have itching ears. That's a group of listeners in the Scripture. And then thirdly, we have those who have good and honest hearts. Look back now at Luke chapter 8. This, of course, would be parallel to Matthew 13 that we read just a few moments ago. Well, we're referencing a few moments ago about the parable of the sower. But in Luke 8 and verse 15, Jesus begins to explain the parable in verse 11 and the verses that follow. He's now talking about the fourth type of soil on which the seed fell, Luke 8, 15. But the seed is the good soil. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. Good and honest hearts. We see some examples, I believe, of this very thing in the Bible. The Bereans, Acts 17, verse 11. They were more noble-minded. They were more fair-minded. They were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica. Why? Because they received the word with all readiness. That's high commendation. They received it with all readiness and searched the Scripture to see whether those things that Paul taught were so. They didn't have itching ears. And that's not what they were interested in. They wanted truth. And they received it with ready minds to check out what Paul was saying against what the divine standard had revealed. We also, I think, could say that the good and honest heart listener would be the first converts to Christ back in Acts 2 and verse 41. They continued steadfastly. They received the apostles' doctrine with all gladness and continued steadfastly in that doctrine and the other acts of worship that are mentioned in that text. So, we have those who have dull hearing, and we have those who have itching ears. And really, I think if you just kind of whittle it all down, I think you can say that the itching ears and dull of hearing are really the same people. They manifest a lot of the same problems. But then we have those who have good and honest hearts who are ready and willing to listen. So, after we've now talked about these types of listeners, now let's really get down to how it can apply to us tonight. There are some benefits of listening well. Not just listening, but I'm saying listening well. There are benefits to that. First off, we will receive great blessing if we really listen well. Let's go back to Matthew 13 again. We're spending a lot of time in Matthew. Matthew 13 again. Should have had you mark that text. After Jesus has talked again, in answer to the disciples' question about why He taught so much in parables, and then He gave them the answer that we just read from a moment ago, again, starting in verse 14, quoting Isaiah 6 and applying it to that certain situation. Verse 16 now, to the disciples. So this is what I have to say about those people, but now with respect to you, my disciples. Blessed are your eyes because they see. And blessed are your ears because they hear. Now pay careful attention to verse 17. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and they did not hear it. And I want you to let that sink in your mind just for the moment. And I want you to think about your own birth. You don't control when you're born. That's out of your control. You can't help it. And some have been born in this dispensation of time. Some have been born in this era, and some won't be born until later generations if the Lord continues to tarry. But I want you to think about you being born and living where you are right now with respect to the scheme of revelation when it comes to the Scripture. There was a time when God dealt with men in incomplete revelation. Now, they had sufficient. I'm not saying that God was withholding on men. That's not the point I'm making. It's just that He had not fully revealed His will at certain points in time. If we looked at life in terms of a linear graph, just a time continuum, and here's where we are plopped down the scene right here, and in this particular given moment of time, this is all God's told us. Patriarchal age didn't know as much as a Mosaical age. And a Mosaical age didn't know as much as the Gospel age. But now here you and I live, we live in this dispensation. How much has God told us? All we need. There'll be no further revelation coming. This is it. We have complete revelation. Doesn't that make us better than the two previous dispensations? They could still serve God faithfully back then. That was their duty, like it is our duty. But I'm simply, in a comparative sense, wanting you to think about what you've been able to hear versus what they were able to hear. And look at this verse again, verse 17 of Matthew 13. Many have desired to hear what you hear. And they couldn't hear it because that wasn't being taught or preached back then. That wasn't God's will to reveal that much back then. But in the day in which we live nowadays, we have complete revelation. We can be told all of God's will as is found in His Word. We are truly blessed to live when we live, right now. All spiritual blessings. God is blessed with all blessings in Christ, Ephesians 1 and verse 3. So, if we listen well, if we really tune in to what God is saying, that's one blessing we can get, or one benefit of listening well, is we get great blessings, spiritual blessings. We know all God's heart, all God's mind on any chosen subject if we just will take the Scripture and find it out and see what His will is on that. We will gain saving faith. Faith comes by hearing. Did you catch that again? You can quote that verse just like that. But faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. We must have faith to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Impossible, the Bible says. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, that He exists, first and foremost. And that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him diligently. Hebrews 11:6. So we will gain faith, saving faith, when we listen to what God says in His Word. Someone asked the question, well, how do I know what to believe in? Well, that's a good question. I mean, that's an excellent question. How do I know what to believe? And especially if a person is, say he's got the mind of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. He wanted to do right. He was searching for something. Praying. Was he in covenant with God? No, he was not. He was outside of Christ. But God saw to it that he'd get the answers he needed. And he sent him an inspired man, the Apostle Peter. And Peter, of course, took care of that need. But what I'm saying is, what if someone is today like a Cornelius of ancient times, and he's really wanting to find truth? And so he'll walk up and down the religious landscape in America, and he'll come to a street corner, and right there is a church on each corner. Four churches right there. How's he going to know where to go? How's he going to know what to believe in? Well, it would be a moot point if all four churches taught the same thing, wouldn't it? As long as it's the truth, then it wouldn't matter which one of the four he went to. He would get the sound doctrine. He'd get adequate, faithful teaching. But see, that's not the same in our country, is it? On any given street corner in America, on that religious landscape I just talked about, you can find four diametrically opposed doctrines. Now, what's a fellow like that supposed to do? How would he know what to believe in? How would he know? Well, he wouldn't know unless he listened to what God said about it. If I'm going to listen to what God said about it, then I'll check out church A, B, C, and D. And I'll listen to what they teach and what they preach. And I'll see how they practice Christianity. And then I'll compare it to this. Because I know God's not going to tell me wrong. God can't lie. Hebrews 6:18. So the benefits of listening well would be we gain saving faith. We will know what to believe in and know how to be saved in the end of that journey of faith. The other benefit is we will avoid drifting. We'll avoid drifting. Look in Hebrews chapter 2 with me. Hebrews, the second chapter. As that chapter begins, first two chapters of Hebrews deal with the deity and the humanity of Christ. Hebrews 1 and verse 1 through Hebrews 2 and verse 4 deal with the Lord's deity, His Godhood. And Hebrews 2, 5 through 18 deal with His manhood. And in Hebrews 2, talking about, as chapter 1 concludes, that angels are ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit or gain salvation. Now, for this reason, that is to gain salvation, for this reason, we must give the more earnest heed, the King James says. Other versions say, we must pay much closer attention. We've got to listen well. We've got to pay attention to what we have heard, lest we let it slip, or so that we do not drift away from it. He's talking about apostasy. And I know you've heard this before, but it bears repeating again. Apostasy does not go bolting out the door at 100 miles an hour. It doesn't do that. It's a gradual thing, a little bit at a time. Until one day you look up and you're miles away from where you ought to be. And we scratch our heads wondering, how did I get here? It's subtle. It's dangerous. So we've got to pay attention. We can avoid this drifting if we listen well every step along the way. and not tune out what God is saying. Make the same mistake as others do before us. Verse 2, if the word spoken through angels, and that's a reference to the first covenant, if that word proves steadfast, and every disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Well, the answer is obviously we won't. We'll suffer the same fate that other past generations did if they neglected to listen to what the Lord said to them on those given occasions. We'll be no different than they are. So we can avoid drifting if we'll listen well to what God says to us in His Word. Give the more earnest heed. And then a fourth benefit of listening well would be we'll avoid rejection and eventual condemnation on the part of the Lord. Again, back to Matthew, this time chapter 12. Gospel of Matthew. And we want the 12th chapter on this point. I believe this is a verse that I have used in the past, but it's so good I'll use it again. Matthew 12, verse 41. Context begins in verse 38. Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. If you really wow us with the sign, we'll just be all over you. We'll follow you to the ends of the earth. And Jesus could see right through that. An evil and adulterous generation seeks after signs. That's not going to fool Jesus. That's verse 39. Now, the sign you're going to be given is the sign of Jonah the prophet. Verse 40. For just as Jonah was in 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster or the fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth. Now, look at verse 41. The men of Nineveh, those are those to whom Jonah went and preached to. Men of Nineveh will stand up with this generation at the judgment and will condemn it. Why? Because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here. Verse 42. The queen of the south will rise up with this generation at the judgment and condemn it. Because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Remember that account back in the Old Covenant? She said, I didn't hear the half of it. I thought I'd heard how wise you are. And behold, not even the half of it was told to me. She was so impressed with Solomon's great wisdom. And Jesus said, this generation, those to whom He was talking to, you're going to be condemned by her. Because she listened to Him. And again, verse 42 concludes, behold, a greater than Solomon is here. That's the Lord Himself. The Lord Himself is teaching us. And we cannot afford to not pay attention. We cannot afford to not listen to Him. It's that critically important. So if we do not listen, then men of Nineveh, the Queen of the South, the Queen of Sheba, she'll rise up and condemn us. It's that serious. Again, chapter 13, many have desired to hear what you hear. And they didn't get to hear it. We are truly blessed to live where we are. Okay, so that's the benefit of listening well. Then that just begs the next question, which is obvious. All right, how do I become a better listener? How do I do that? Well, I think the Bible can teach us on that also. Here's some suggestions. Try to fully understand the impact of the Scripture. Not just to read the words, but to really understand the concept, the context, the full force, the full weight, the full impact of a particular part of the Scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's look at verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. Listen to what Paul, how he's commending the first century Christians at Thessalonica. He said, for this reason, we constantly thank God that when you received the Word of God which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the Word of men, but for what it really is, the Word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. So it all comes down to perception. How many folks do you know that you work with, are friends with, who demean the Bible on that? Well, that's the Bible. I'm not gonna believe anything like that. That's just men's opinions. Think comments like that. I mean, we're faced with them all the time. Paul says, "No, I'm thankful for you, brethren, because when you heard what we had to say, you received it for what it is, what it really is, not the word of men, but in fact, as it is in truth, the word of God. So it is God talking to us. He's speaking to us. Is there anyone more important or greater to listen to than God? I can't think of anybody. Not a single being. We must respect His word. So let's try to fully understand the impact of the Scripture when we're talking about a certain topic or subject matter. Secondly, try to make listening an act of worship. And that act of worship is my phrase in quotes. An act of worship. This would indicate our devotion to God. This morning, I think, as a group of Christians, we all had a part in making an intensive effort to focus on the supper this morning. The assembly was geared for that purpose. And we did that. We were devoted to that particular concept of the sacrifice of Christ for each of us. And so as much as we focus on the Lord's Supper, which we should, and many times a brother who's leading us in our singing of hymns, he'll remind us, now let's not get too caught up in the rhythm of the music. Well, let's focus on the words. That's what's important part is the words. We're teaching each other in psalms and hymns, so let's focus on the words. And as much as we will try to focus on a brother who's leading us in prayer, he's praying for all of us, and we want to be able to say the amen to his prayer like we did a moment ago when Charles prayed. So as much as we focus in those endeavors, then let's try to focus on listening when the Lord's Word is being taught publicly. And we've got to get past the imperfection of the public speaker. We have to look past all that. He's just, sometimes he stutters and fumbles and gets in the way of his own presentation. And that's just what we have to do. But that's not the important part. The important part is what's being said. And can I agree with that? And can I find that being taught in the Word of God? And so make listening an act of worship. We came tonight to listen to what God has to say in His Word. It's important to me that I hear what God is saying. How respectful would it be if someone came in tonight who was very, very important in the world? Maybe the president? Maybe the governor of Alabama? Tomorrow Tuesday. How about Tuesday? When you get to the office and the CEO of your company comes in. He comes in your office. Are you going to pay attention? Or are you going to ignore him? I doubt you'd ignore him. You'd pay attention. And not just to be polite and cordial, but he said, now, I've got something I want to say that's really important, so are you listening? I'm all ears. I'm hanging on every word. See, we would do that. Anybody more important than the Lord? Don't think so. What He's got to say is eternally important. Eternally. And so make listening an act of worship. Listen from first to last. Many times the sermon will start, well, this is really boring. I'm going to tune that out. And we don't even get past the introduction. And some folks are already tuning us out. No, we got to listen all the way from the beginning to the end. Listen all the way through. Don't make any prejudices. No prejudging. Don't make any premature conclusions. Use the rules of presentation that apply both to presenters and to listeners. Listen as it begins. Then thoughtfully consider as the presentation is made, being corroborated by the teaching of the Scripture. And try to see the thought that's being developed. And try to appreciate that and understand that. And see how it's wrapped up in a conclusion as a single thought, a single presentation. Listen from the first to the last. That's how we could be better listeners. Let's listen with faith. That'd be very important to do that. Listen with faith. Not just listen, but listen with faith. Hebrews 4. Look there with me. Verses 1 and 2. Talking about the believer's rest. And the writer's talking about those former generations who were not going to be blessed because they didn't believe. So therefore, they would not enter into their rest. Therefore, let us hear, if, while a promise remains of entering His rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. We'll fail. We'll fall short. We won't enter that rest. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us. See, listening. Someone did some preaching, and someone had to do some listening. We had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them. Why? Because it was not united by faith in those that heard. They didn't listen with faith. That's why. Didn't profit them. They didn't gain anything from that. So listen to accept. Don't listen to look for ways to punch a hole in the argument. Well, I don't agree with that. That's not right. That's not right. Well, if error's being taught, then all right, obviously, we're not going to listen to that. We've got to refute that. But if it just doesn't match your personal preference, no, don't do that. Let's listen with faith. Because if it's the truth, then the truth needs to be received. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, James 1 teaches us, which is able to save your souls. That's just that critically important. And then finally, we can listen better if we listen to do, not just to hear. Listen with the intention to act on what we're being taught, not just considering it or tolerating it, obviously. We can listen for the wrong reason. Let's go back to the Old Covenant for an example of this. Look in Ezekiel chapter 30 with me. I'm sorry, 33. Ezekiel 33. And starting at verse 30. God told His man Ezekiel. He prepared him in a special way for how he would be received by those to whom he was teaching. The exiles on the river Kibar. Verse 30 of Ezekiel 33. But as for you, son of man, your fellow citizens who talk about you by the walls and in the doorways of the houses, speak to one another and each to his brother, saying, come now and hear what the message is. Hear what the message is which comes forth from the Lord. Let's go hear Ezekiel. He's teaching. Let's go hear him. So they will come to you as people come and sit before you as my people and hear your words. What's the next letter or the next word? But. They're going to come and hear you. But they do not do them. They won't practice what they're hearing. For they do the lustful desires expressed by their mouth, and their heart goes after their gain. Behold, you are to them like a sensual song by one who has a beautiful voice and plays well on the instrument. See, it's just superficial. Oh, doesn't he talk nice? He has a pleasant-sounding voice. I could listen to him talk all day. And those are platitudes. They're empty. The Lord says, for they hear your words, but they do not practice them. So it's got to go deeper than that. If we are going to go hear a man preach, or hear a man teach, just because we like the way he talks, that's no better than this right here. Same situation. No, let's go hear someone teach the gospel because he's going to be teaching truth. Because we need truth. He might be preaching something in that particular lesson that I need to hear. Not just that I need to hear, but that I need to start doing a better job about. That's absolutely critically important. Jesus said, listening only makes one a fool. The foolish man built his house on the sand. Why? He who hears these words of mine and does not do them. I will liken him to a man who built his house upon the sand. The winds blew, the floods came and beat on that house, and that house fell because it was not founded upon the rock. And how tragic is that? The Lord said, and great was its fall. It's tragic. That makes us foolish. To listen with no intention of doing makes us a fool. We must listen with the intent to act. James 1 corresponds with Matthew 7. Be effectual doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So we've been talking tonight about listening, and I want to close with a couple of exhortations. One is from the Lord Himself to a man who then wrote a similar exhortation to us. Matthew 17, Mount of Transfiguration. You know the story. The Lord took with Him three disciples. And on that mountain, three men were transfigured. And old Peter had to speak up. Always be the one to speak up. Lord, it's good for us to be here. Well, that was true. It was good to be there. That part was okay. Then he said, now let us build here three tabernacles. Let's really commemorate this occasion. One for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And he didn't get that much said than this thunderous voice from heaven replied, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. Him. Listen to Him. The others were servants of mine too, but that's over. So that was an exhortation to Peter. Now, look with me in 2 Peter 1. And this same Peter later wrote, 2 Peter 1, starting in verse 16. And I've often wondered, of course I can't prove this, but I've often wondered, as Peter was writing these particular verses, I wonder what was going through his mind. I've often wondered that. Because we know what he's talking. He's talking about this incident in Matthew 17. Have you ever said, I wish I hadn't said what I said back then. That's the wrong thing to say. Maybe he thought something like that. I don't know. 2 Peter 1, verse 16. Peter says, we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For when He received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to Him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That's God's voice back in Matthew 17. And we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with Him on the holy mountain. Now, the exhortation, verse 19. So, we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention to, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. See that? You would do well to listen to this. Do well to listen to this voice that says, this is my Son. Peter had to be reminded of that on that mountain. Now he's telling us, pay attention. Listen to the Son of God, what He has to say. You'll be well served if you do. We need to listen well to avoid spiritual tragedies. God won't hear impenitent sinners. 1 Peter 3 and verse 12. His face is against those who do evil. And His ear isn't open to their prayers. We won't listen to Him. Why would He listen to us? That's fair. That's only fair. So, the truth is, if we whittle it all down, the truth is really this. We all hear what we want to hear. Some of us have selective hearing. Even when it comes to this, to the Bible, we have selective hearing. But truth be told, we hear what we want to hear. All of us do. And we're going to tune out what we don't want to hear. We'll just like, I didn't hear that. Well, that's because you didn't want to hear it. I've been guilty of that. And so have you. All of us have. So the solution is, what's the solution? The solution is to be taught to learn how to want to hear what God said. That's the solution. If I want to hear what God says, if that's what I truly want, then I'm going to hear it. I'll find it out. I'll search it out. Because that's what I'm wanting. But if I don't want to hear what God said, I can listen to 1,000 sermons and it won't make a bit of difference. It really won't matter. Well, if the Apostle Paul came and taught, I listened to him, it still wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter. But if I want to hear it, and if you want to hear it, and nobody can make you do what you want, that comes from you. You've got to want to. You've got to have enough will, enough want to. So, do you listen well? Do you listen to what the Lord says? I hope so. Tonight, perhaps you are in the position that you need to listen to what the invitation of Christ is. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. That invitation is for you. If you've not yet named the name of Christ, wear His yoke, bear His burden. It's light compared to the yoke burden of the world. It's much easier to bear. And it's got great eternal future blessings in store for you. So come to Him tonight. Listen to Him pleading for you. Listen to us as we sing this hymn to encourage you. Make your way to the front. We'll help you tonight confess your faith in Him. And we'll baptize you into Christ. Perhaps you've not listened well in the past. And you need to repent of that sin or some other sin. Whatever your case may be, the Lord certainly knows you're standing before Him this very hour. And only you can do something about that. Would you please come while we sing this hymn to encourage you tonight?